Sometimes, when I hear people talking about the prayer, I frequently hear the phrases, God wants me to, God said, and I ask, how do you know it was God? It's not that I doubt their experience. I ask myself the same question. Discernment is a process whereby we come to recognise the authentic voice of God amongst the cacophony of all the voices and noises we hear. We cannot necessarily assume it is God because the voice speaking says it is. How easily the deceiver could deceive us if that was all it took. It is a question of responsibility. There is a danger of misinterpreting the step six and thinking we can sit back and leave it up to God to sort it out. Be passive, if you like. I think that is why I also raise the question of whose voice is it we are listening to? Is this person moving through life, not being an active agent in it, where things happen to them and it is interpreted as being what God wants? It is the opposite extreme to the puritanical attitude of the Pilgrim's Progress, where I am in complete control of my own salvation and it is all down to me. In Breathing Underwater, Richard Rohr attaches an analogy of the chicken and egg to step six. He says, it first recognises that we have to work to see our many resistances, excuses and blockages. But then we have to fully acknowledge that God alone can do the removing. But which should come first, grace or responsibility? The answer is that both come first. And he asks the very pertinent question, does God produce us, or do we, by our own efforts, produce God? It is an interesting question. Ignatius questions, but does not assume that a lack of effort on our part might be responsible for the non-production of God. He encourages spiritual directors to explore with their directees. When the one who is giving the exercises perceives that the exercitant is not affected by any spiritual experiences, such as consolations or desolations, and that he is not troubled by different spirits, he ought to ply him with questions about the exercises. He should ask him whether he makes them at the appointed times and how he makes them. He should question him about the additional directions, whether he is diligent in the observance of them. He will demand an account in each detail of each of these points. In the Rules for Discernment, he gives three reasons why we might suffer from spiritual desolation. The first is because we have been tepid and slothful or negligent in our exercises of piety, and so through our own fault, spiritual consolation has been taken away from us. The second reason is because God wishes to try us, to see how much we are worth and how much we will advance in his service and praise when left without the generous reward of consolations and signal favours. The third reason is because God wishes to give us a true knowledge and understanding of ourselves, so that we may have an intimate perception of the fact that it is not within our power to acquire and attain great devotion, intense love, tears, or any other spiritual consolation, but that all this is the gift and grace of God our Lord. God does not wish us to build on the property of another, to rise up in spirit in a certain pride and vainglory, and attribute to ourselves the devotion and other effects of spiritual consolation.